All right, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2, and I just want to read actually a statement out of verse 2. Nehemiah 2 and verse 2. This message is called The Pastor and Fear. The Pastor and Fear. Leaders have fears, but that doesn't mean they can't become great leaders. And I want to talk about fear, and for those in the ministry and all men, the pastor and fear. It says in Nehemiah 2 and verse 2, "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." And this is the statement I want you to notice about Nehemiah. It says, "Then I was very sore afraid." Then I was very sore afraid. Now, Nehemiah is one of my heroes in the Bible. I love him. I've studied him out. I've written a little bit about his book, the book of Nehemiah. He's been an inspiration to me as a leader, a man who left the lap of luxury, living in the king's palace in Shushan as a cupbearer. I mean, talk about living on Easy Street. Nehemiah had it, and he was set for life. But the work of God called him, and he was concerned about doing something for God in his day. The temple had been rebuilt under Ezra's leadership, but the wall around it was a wreck. And he felt that this was a reproach to his God, the wall around Jerusalem, and he felt that that was the work of God for him in his generation, in his life, and that he needed to do it. But notice, as he begins to formulate this idea in his mind in Nehemiah 1 and 2, the Bible shows us in a transparent way what was in his heart. It says, "Then I was very sore afraid." You see, sometimes we look at the great men of the Bible and think they were just like superheroes who didn't have any battles with passions or weaknesses or fear or anything, but that's not true. I want to make 4 points on this subject of the pastor and fear. My first point is this: great men have had fears. Number one, great men have had fears. In Genesis 3:10, it says, and I quote Adam, "I was afraid." In Genesis 26 and verse number 7, and it talks about Isaac, and it says, "For he feared to say that she is my wife." He feared to say. 3 times it tells us Jacob was afraid. Genesis 28, 17, Genesis 31, 31, and Genesis 32, verse 7, it says Jacob was afraid. Exodus 2, verse 14 says Moses feared. Judges 6, verse 27 tells us Gideon feared. 1 Samuel 3:15, Samuel feared to show Eli. 1 Samuel 15:24, Saul, he was a good king initially, but he said these words, "I feared the people." I feared the people. The great king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, it says, Jehoshaphat feared. The old sage Job, chapter 3, and verse 25, says, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." The Apostle Paul in the New Testament said in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, "Without were fightings, within were fears." He said he had a lot of fear inside of him. And so there are a lot of great men, and these are just some of them. There's other men in the Bible. In fact, the word afraid is found 189 times in the Bible. I don't have the time to go through some of them right here, but study the word afraid out, and you'd be amazed at how many times God recorded for us that certain men, certain women, often good men and good women, were afraid. They were afraid. Now, point number two is this: some are stopped by fears. Some are stopped by fears. And I'm sure that if you inventory your life, you can probably think of times where fear stopped you from doing something God wanted you to do. And I certainly can think of the same thing in my life. Some of the more famous stories in the Bible where people were stopped by fears are these. We think of the children of Israel in the wilderness and how God sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan to search it out. And they had just left and gotten their freedom from Egypt through the Passover. And they were on their way into the Promised Land, which was really only about a 13-day journey. But that little 13-day journey ended up becoming 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And what stopped them from going in? Well, 12 spies, as you know, were sent up to Canaan to spy out the land. Amongst them were two very famous men, Joshua and Caleb. But the other 10 men saw the land, and they came back and they reported to Israel, and they said, you know, the land is exactly like God said it was. It's full of, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and there's all kinds of blessings there. But we saw the sons of Anak there. We saw the sons of Anak there, and they said, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. I mean, we were just like little bugs in their sight. And they began to spread a spirit of fear all over the children of Israel. That even though Joshua and Caleb tried to stop them and say, no, wait a minute. It's just like God said. God can deliver them into our hands. Let's not be afraid of them. Let's not be afraid of their size. These 10 men came back and spread fear among over 2 million Israelites and paralyze them, and even turn them against their leadership because they wanted to turn back and go back to Egypt. And they wanted to get rid of Moses as their leader. And as a result, they ended up having to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. And every single one among them who was over 20 years of age ended up being buried in a grave somewhere in the wilderness, because fear paralyzed them from doing what God wanted them to do. Another famous story of people being stopped by fear is when we think of Gideon's warriors. You can read about that over in the book of Judges, chapter number 7. And as they went up to fight against the Midianites, the people gathered themselves unto Gideon, and I want to read Judges chapter 7 and verse 3. It says, now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. So there's 32,000 men show up at the call of Gideon to assemble to fight Midian, the Midianites. And the little instruction goes out, if any of you men are fearful or afraid, please depart. And 22,000 out of 32,000 went home. Now, I ran that through a calculator, and that's 69% of the men of that day had struggles with fear. They had struggles with fear when it came to doing what God wanted them to do in their generation. They had about a 69% turnaround rate of men that feared. Now, another famous story is David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 11, it says this about Israel. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. That was the description. Because remember, Goliath came out and showed himself in the valley to fight against the children of Israel. He did that for 40 consecutive days, the Bible says. 40 days he went down there and said, come on, send out one of your men to fight me. Can you imagine that for 40 days? And the description of Israel at that day, the men of Israel, is this: they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So some are stopped by fears. Some are stopped by fears. And of course, David came along and he wasn't. But fear not only has stopped men in the past from these stories from history, but it has also stopped men in the present. Just think of some things as believers. For example, the fear of witnessing. The fear of witnessing, that has probably stopped all of us at some time from confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that that was also true in history past, over in the book of John in chapter 9 and verse number 22. It says this: these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And so here we see a couple parents whom God has done a great miracle for their son, and yet they feared to confess Christ. So it stopped them from doing something right. John 7 and verse number 13 says, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. And so sometimes witnessing can be stopped by fear. I know I would have to confess there's been more than one experience in my life where I really felt I ought to witness to somebody. But maybe I looked at their size or their clothes or the way they were dressed or the group around them or something, and I backed off. I'm sorry to have to admit that today. But there's been times where fear has stopped me from witnessing and from us from doing something right. Not only does fear stop some from witnessing, but fear stops some from service. God is calling some of you men. God calls men. It says many are called. But there's many men who are stopped by fear. I know two men in heaven now who were called by God in their early lives, and they went to Bible college. They prepared for the ministry. But then when it came to getting into the ministry, fear stopped them from becoming pastors, from ministering in churches, and they went into the professional world, and they made a lot of money. They were very successful, but they were never happy. They never had any joy. And both of them expressed to me in their old age how they envied me and how they wished they had answered the call of God, but they were afraid. They were afraid. Now, God is calling some of you men, and I don't know who you are, but God's calling some of you, and you're going through all the excuses that everybody else has used, like Moses, I can't speak, and so on and so forth. God doesn't buy it. Because God can equip you. If God calls you, He can equip you, and He can enable you by His grace to do His work. And I'm going to, again, be the first one to admit that starting this church 23 years ago was a fearful thing. It was a fear, especially when I went up to my dad and said, Dad, we just had started for 6 months. We had the church going for 6 months, and I went up to my dad, and he was going to give me his business, pretty much, and turn it over to me and so on. And I said, Dad, God's called me to be a pastor, and I can't work for you anymore. And I believe this is what God wants. And I walked away from my job and my income. Just said by faith. I tell you, it's a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But some of you are going to come up to service in God's calling, and you're going to turn away from it out of fear. Some are stopped by fears. Some that are in the ministry are stopped by fear from going forward. The fear of failure, the fear of rejection. And they might be content with something maybe a lot smaller than what God would really like to do through them, because they're not launching out into the deep by faith. And I think all of us sometimes have been stopped by fear from attempting great things for God or even little things for God. And so we want to attempt some great things for God. But it's going to take faith, not fear. When the Apostle Paul, I mentioned him, what a great man of God he was. But even the Lord said to Paul these words one time in Acts 18 and verse 9. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Now, why would God say that to Paul? Well, God knows our hearts. God knows our struggles. And I'm sure when Paul testified in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5, as I mentioned earlier, about within were fears, I'm sure God saw that, because God sees our hearts. He ponders our hearts. He knows what we're battling. And so he said to Paul, be not afraid, but speak. And so I'm glad that Paul was not stopped by fears. So number one, great men have had fears. Number two, some are stopped by fears. Entire nations have been stopped by fear, like Israel. But number three, some work on through fear. Some work on through fear, and this is where we need to be. Some work on through fear, that's us. Now, I have met a few men, and I've envied them, who were fearless. I really have. I've met some men that were just fearless. You know, they were like those 300 Gideon ended up with, I guess. Here we go, or Jonathan, his armor bearer, climbing the mountain, saying, yeah, we can take these guys. God's for us. In fact, let's call them down here and heckle them a little while. And let them know we're coming. You know, there have been a few men like that that have graced history, and there's some that are alive today like that in the ministry. But most of us probably aren't. And so we've got to address this thing called fear. And we might as well be honest about it. I know it's hard. It's one of those hard things to confess. You know, it's like a man confessing, I have problems with pornography or something. Who wants to say that publicly? But some men ought to find somebody, at least in secret, and say, I got a problem with this. And find someone confidential that will pray for them and not gossip about them. And I hope you don't ever look at that. I don't, but some men struggle with it. It's the same thing. It's hard for a man to stand up and say, I'm having struggles with fear. But we need to. And we need to come to point number three where we work on through fear. We work on through fear. If you're still in Nehemiah, look over at chapter number 6. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verses 9 through 16. It says this. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. So notice, Nehemiah faced fear. We talked about earlier how he was sore afraid. He faced fear by what? Prayer and trust in God. And then it says, afterwards I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I like this answer. Nehemiah says, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so. Now here's something that we hardly ever recognize. What's the next two words? and sin. Have you ever confessed to God, Lord, forgive me for the sin of fear? See, we don't look at it that way. We just look at it as, well, you know, it's just the latest emotion to overwhelm my spirit. But Nehemiah, I think, recognized, I've got some fear in my life. I'm sore afraid. But, you know, I need to find some courage because God's made me a man. And he says right here, therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so in sin. And that they might have a matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat. Now he's praying here, according to the to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So Nehemiah faces satanic opposition. And I wrote a booklet one time about Nehemiah called The Book of Nehemiah. It's a study. And in that booklet, I document 12 different forms of opposition Nehemiah has to work through to do the work of God in his life. And every one of those 12 we're going to face also, including threatenings of being killed. And so you might want to study that or request it from our church. That Nehemiah was a man who had fears. He addressed his fears. He recognized them as sin. He worked on through fear, and he recognized that one of Satan's devices was to try to use others, verse 14, to put me in fear. Because fear paralyzes us. And fear keeps us from doing things for God. But I love verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day in the month Elul in 52 days. Isn't that great? 52 days. The wall was finished, and that was the work God had called him to do in his life. Now, we're not building walls today, but we're building churches. We're building people. And we're going to have to deal with fear. Now, go back to Nehemiah 4. And I want you to notice something that he did. Even though he himself was struggling with fear, he said this in Nehemiah 4:14, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. So here's a preacher who has some fears himself, but he's standing up preaching and saying, be not afraid of them. Be not afraid of them. Be not afraid. That's good leadership. That's good leadership. He says, I'm trying to tackle my fears. You tackle yours. Let's not be afraid of them. Let's do this work that God has called us to do in our day. And we need to be that way. We need to be like Nehemiah, number three. Some work on through fear. So we've seen three things so far. Great men have had fears. Some have been stopped by fear. They never did God. All those men in the wilderness, children of Israel, they never did God's will in their life. They died without doing God's will. It wasn't God's will that they be buried in the wilderness. Not one of them did God's will. Because fear stopped them. But some work on through fear. Work on through fear. Go around fear. One or the other. But men, please do not be stopped by fear. If you are called by God or appointed by the pastor to do something, do it. No matter how you feel on the inside, do it. Just do it. And you'll find that that's one of the secrets to overcoming fear is get started. And then when you do something and do it the second time and the third time and fifth time and the 20th time and the 100th time, by that time you're an expert at it and you're teaching others. But man, if God calls you to do something or the pastor appoints you to do something, do it. Then just do it. Just take a deep breath and do it. So here we go. A lot of times that's what we have to do. Just take a deep breath and say, Lord, I don't feel like doing this, but this is the right thing to do. And I've got to do it. If there's a door to knock on out on visitation, take a deep breath, knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and whatever happens, happens. The more you do something, the less fear you'll have. Perhaps it's just like that in life, the first time you drove a car. Man, you had your hands locked onto that steering wheel, and you were like, no, now you got one hand on the steering wheel, and you're looking around. I have no fear. No matter what it is, that's just how it is in life. You got to get started. You got to get started, and then the more you do anything, driving a car, riding a bike, playing an instrument. Some of you play an instrument, man. The first time I played a trumpet in public in the church, I got so nervous, my mouth got all dry. Some of you that play trumpets know that it's all over at that moment. You're not going to play the trumpet. And so I got about 2 or 3 notes out of the whole song out. Fortunately, there was another guy playing with me. I was just a teenager at the time, and he carried his part well. He was an adult. I got about 3 notes out, and I sat down and said, that's it. I'm never playing this instrument again. That's when I was a teenager. Well, I'm 49. I'm still playing the trumpet. And I don't get nervous playing the trumpet in public anymore. So I'm not that good of a player, but the more you do something, the less fear you have. So number 3, don't be stopped by fear. Work on through fear. Go around fear. Just take a deep breath if you have to. You know, or have somebody pray with you. But then my last point is this. Number 4, some overcome their fears. And boy, it'd be nice to live this way, where we just get to the point where we overcome our fears. Now, I'm not quite living completely in number 4 yet, but it sure is getting clearer to me of what it's like to be able to overcome fear. Now, we all need to have healthy, rational fears. You know, you don't want to drive down the road 120 miles an hour at night with the deer running. You know, and you don't want to, you know, walk 6 inches away from the precipice of Niagara Falls or something, or some 150-foot cliff. We got to have rational fears. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We're talking about things here today like the fear of man and the fear of service and the fear of failure and the fear of rejection and those type things. And we need to overcome our fear. And here's just a couple of words of advice on what you and I need to do to help overcome fear. In Psalm 34 in verse 4, David said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. Now David, you know, we say, wait a minute, I thought he took on Goliath. Yeah, but the Bible's a transparent book. I love the Bible because it tells us the good things about men and the bad things about men, so we can relate. David had some fears. He wrote this 34th Psalm while he was running for his life. As he went over to Abimelech and changed his behavior, he acted like he was a madman, and he's running for his life because Saul had gone crazy and was trying to kill him and was just tracking him down through the woods like an animal. Well, probably any of us would fear in such a situation. But this was his answer. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver me from all my fears. You know, you can. God is not going to ridicule you if you go up to him and say, Lord, I have a lot of fears. We ought to be honest with God in our prayer life. Say, dear God, I have a lot of fears. I have the fear of witnessing. I have the fear of giving. I just can't trust you with my money. And I just can't bring myself to tithe or give offerings. Lord, deliver me from this fear. I got the fear of really taking my role as my husband. What's my wife? How's she going to react? Or I really fear being a biblical father. I just fear how my children are going to respond to me. Am I going to lose my kids if I discipline them? Or there's a lot of fears. A lot of fears. You know, I hear God calling me. I hear you calling me at church to serve you and to surrender my life to you. But how am I going to pay the bills? You know, and there's a lot of fears that people have. What did David say? I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from It says right here, all my fears. You need to pray about that matter. You need to pray about that matter. And then you need to have faith. Faith is another avenue of victory over fear. In Psalm 56 and verse 11, in God have I put my trust. That's faith. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. See, faith is the opposite of fear. What does faith do? Faith produces works. Faith without works is dead. Fear paralyzes works. They're opposites. Fear says, boy, I'm not going to do that. Why? I'm scared to death. I can't get up and talk in front of people. Well, that's probably every preacher alive has said that at one time. And they just have to look to God for grace and faith. God can use you to be the leader of your home and to be a leader in your church and to be a leader in our communities and to be soul winners and men of prayer and men of the word and givers and so on and so forth. But we've got to have faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Dr. Lee Roberson is still alive. He's around 96 years of age, but you can't hear a sermon that he's ever preached, but somewhere in the sermon he'll say this, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Faith is the opposite of fear, and faith produces works. Faith without works is dead. Faith produces works, and it stops fear in its tracks. I believe God. We're going to try to do something here at our church, too. We want to plant 5 churches along the coast of Lake Erie, maybe in the next 25 years, more or less. But if it doesn't happen, if the rapture comes, we'll at least die with a dream, you know. Say, well, Lord, we didn't make it, but we were dreaming at the time. But I can already sense, even in our church, I can see some people with fear. They're not quite behind us yet, Brother Jose. They're just like, why? We're just finally getting settled here. You know, but because souls need to be saved. And these towns need churches. They need pastors. They need a lighthouse. And they're like sheep having no shepherd. And sometimes I drive through those towns and I literally cry and say, Lord, there's no gospel lighthouse here in these towns. And we've got to have men of faith, daring men. Now, faith will cause a man to be daring, not to be afraid. We think of Jonathan and his armor bearer. Earlier I mentioned him and those 4 guys, remember that, with their friend, their paralyzed friend, they put him on a stretcher or something, a bed. And they came to Capernaum and they couldn't get to Jesus because he was in the house, and the house was packed full of people listening to him teach and preach. So what'd they do? They went up on the roof and they busted up the roof and they let him down through the roof somehow. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, my son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You'll take up your bed, walk. We saw their faith. They had a daring faith about them. And as soon as Jonathan and his armor bearer showed a daring faith, God sent an earthquake. And as soon as these men busted up the ceiling and he saw their daring faith, he healed the man. See, God waits for somebody like a Nehemiah to step out, even with his fears, and says, I got to do something. I got to do something. God will come alongside and join that man. Said, okay, I found a man I need. I'll help you. I'll help you. And last of all, not only do we need to pray about our fears and increase our faith, and by the way, that comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, that the more faith we have, the less fear we'll have. But there's also perfect love and the power of perfect love. It says in 1 John 4 and verse 18, there is no fear in love. For perfect love casteth out fear. The word casteth is interesting. It means to throw or let go of a thing without caring where it falls. To throw or let go of a thing without caring where it falls. If this was something I didn't want right here and I just went like that, didn't care where it fell, that's the picture of what love can do to fear. Just throw it away like who cares. I don't need that anymore. Perfect love. Now, if you just think that through, for instance, if we really had a perfect love for the lost, we would witness fearlessly. We wouldn't care how they're going to respond. if we just love their souls and realize their souls are eternal and either heading for an everlasting destruction or everlasting life, we wouldn't care what they said about us or what to do. Now, I haven't arrived at that yet, but the perfect love has that power. And so we need to know the Lord, and we need to have our love perfected. Let me say one last thing, and I want to build this on something I said earlier. If Nehemiah was right, and if fear is a sin, and maybe we've never thought about it like that till today. And the Bible says fear is a sin. Then we are tempted to fear all the time. We ought to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. But what is it that we teach people to do when they have a weakness in their life? Face it. But when you have a specific weakness, if you wanted to help somebody overcome a particular weakness in their life, what is one thing you want to arm them with? Some scripture. Some scripture. So I want to encourage us today, maybe never we've never thought about this before, but to memorize a couple scriptures that says fear is wrong. So the next time Satan comes to tempt us with fear, we can, as part of the armor of God, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and use it to resist him. See, having a King James Bible is not... There's no magic in this book. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be something the Holy Spirit can draw from and equip you with. That's what it means, the sword of the Spirit. It's not our sword, it's His sword. But if we have some verses memorized on fear, then when we're tempted with it, the Holy Spirit can bring that verse to our recollection, and we can then resist the devil with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, by quoting the verse. What happens if we resist the devil? What's the promise we have? He'll flee from us. So here's a couple verses. Just write these down. And maybe we should work on memorizing these. Isaiah 51 and verse 12. It says this, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? That's a good verse. And if we memorize that, I think God would bring it to our memory. Who art thou that thou art afraid of a man? Here's another one, same chapter, Isaiah 51:7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Don't be afraid of their reproach or their revilings. So there's two verses right there that maybe you can get started on, and I can get started on memorizing, that we've never memorized before. Isaiah 51:7, Isaiah 51:12, commit them to memory, so that the Lord can draw them out when we're tempted to be afraid. Another one is Proverbs 29:25, which says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. All right, so men, remember, number one, great men have had fears. All right, so you're not less than a man if you've had fears. We've talked about some great men that have fears. Sadly, number two, some are stopped by fear and never do God's will in their life. Now, God's will is too important to me than to let fear keep me from it. Number three, some work on through fear, like Nehemiah. And he was afraid, he was sore afraid, but in 52 days, God got with him. God got the work done. But praise the Lord, number four, some can overcome their fears and be fearless men. And that's what we want to be heading for. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word this morning and for these that have attended. We pray for thy Holy Spirit to be the teacher. Help us in the memorizing of these verses. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge our fear before you. Lord, you know everything anyway. We might as well not go around being fakes or acting like we don't have any fears. But Lord, we pray you'd forgive us of fear. Help us from this day forth to acknowledge it like Nehemiah as a sin. For fear is the opposite of faith. Fear, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And fear is the opposite of love. That's the great commandment. So Lord, it is a sin. Forgive us of our sin, our fears. But Lord, thank you that some have worked on through fear, and you've joined them on the second step. And glorious testimonies are given of what they did. I pray we would not be stopped by fear, but give us the daring faith to attempt things for God. And then, Lord, help us in overcoming. Lord, we pray you'd increase our faith. That faith would produce works, that works would never be paralyzed by fear in our lives, and then perfect our love. Oh God, in our humanistic society, we're so far away from perfect love, but ever draws near. And then as men, I think at the end of our lives, we'll be able to say we at least attempted to do your will. And many men will never be able to say that. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.